You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
Both these teams are really good teams, and it's going to be a great series.
It should be a fun series, and I think Leaf fans, you know, they really like this group that they have here. They should really like it, but they desperately want to love this group, and the only way you do that is with playoff success. You got to win in the playoffs.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, here we go. Final half hour. The pregame begins at 6:30. Puck drop at 7 p.m. right here on TSN 1050. Game one tonight, Maple Leafs Bruins. I am starting to get fired up. I'll be honest, I've been fired up all day. I woke up this morning thinking, okay, we got a Maple Leaf playoff game tonight. We know who the Raptors are playing. They're playing Orlando. I really like that draw. I wasn't going to be too concerned regardless of who they were going to play.
Right.
But I feel real good about them against a young, raw Orlando team that had to fight to get in. But I think that's it. Thanks for coming out. I feel good about the Raptors. Blue Jays are at Fenway tonight looking for a two-game sweep. I don't know how much attention that's going to be given throughout the evening and throughout the city, but
unfortunately, that'll be very low on my depth chart of viewing tonight.
I think it more than likely will be that way for a lot of people. But here we go again. I have chosen to embrace the matchup because I think if the Maple Leafs can win the first round they've won in 15 years, it would be so much more meaningful against this team.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's something about the Bruins. There's something about the city. You know, Boston, they are, it's a dynasty city. That's what it is. It is the most successful sports city in maybe the history of North American sports when you consider what they've done for the past 20 years.
Yeah. That, you can't argue with that because the Patriots technically slide in there.
That counts as a Boston team.
Right.
Red Sox have won, I think, 4 World Series. The Bruins have won a cup. The Celtics have won an NBA title.
Yeah, there's lots of moving parts there.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and Toronto doesn't have that success, clearly, when it comes to the big four sports.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays are in a rebuild. The Raptors have an opportunity here with no LeBron, which I thought LeBron was at Dwayne Wade's game last night. Did you see that?
Yeah, he got out of L.A. very quickly. He tried to kind of steal the show on the post-game interview where he got in there, and of course he had to be Mr. Funny Guy.
I don't know.
It's so unnecessary. It's like, dude, it's his moment. Can you just move out of the way? Yeah. Like, I appreciate that he was there for the guy.
I thought it was cool, but I'm kind of shocked. I'm like, okay, there's LeBron in street clothes and enjoying it, laughing it up. And I know out of respect, Dwayne Wade, you wanted him to have a good game, but they weren't even guarding him. They were just allowing him to go. Like, it was whatever.
Yeah,
I get it.
It was honestly like, but it was a retirement game. It was a ceremonial 48 minutes.
But getting back to this matchup between the Bruins and the Leafs, I don't know if the Bruins will pull out any, you know, Gronk showing up to do it. Like, I think they're just going to try and be all business. It's tough, though. I will say it's tough. All I have is experience from when I played with the Blues, and we were a really good regular season team. President's Trophy the 1 year. And starting at home can be very tough. There's just a lot of distractions. The crowd expects you to win. Like, there's just so many things that go into it. I almost enjoy being, it's not even the underdog, being the road team where it's, hey, you're just in your road routine. You're not worrying about getting tickets. For the most part, nowadays, these kids travel with their parents and who knows what else they travel with, their girlfriends or whatever. But I think there's less pressure to start on the road because all you have to do is win one out of two.
Yeah, then you're really playing shape with house money. Absolutely. Yeah. We caught up with Andrew Raycroft at 4:30, who's down in Boston. And he said there is definitely a cockiness in the air in the fan base, which I think is totally understandable and totally predictable. And he said it's more about 2013 than it is last year. Yeah. It's the 4-1 game 7, 11 minutes left. I mean, that's one of the most famous games in the history of the sport, really, when you think about it. I mean, it's never happened before. No one's ever been up 4-1 with 11 minutes to go and lost. So I can understand why they would continue to point to that. And Boston, as we've referenced over the past couple of weeks, is a town that doesn't really care much about the early rounds of the playoffs.
Yeah, when we were there, they weren't here.
They're like, let's, you know, wake me up when they're in the conference final.
I don't sense that this time around.
I don't know about the fan base. I don't think the players should be thinking that way. I can't imagine they would want to feel that way. But if you're the Leafs, I think you're hoping they do. Yeah. If you're the Maple Leafs, you're hoping that the Bruins are a little bit cocky. Yeah. And feeling a little bit self-assured that these are guys that we know we own, and I'm not too worried about them.
I just personally don't think a guy like Zdeno Chara would allow that. Like, I think he's the epitome of a leader, a guy who is very humble. I would try and compare him to other superstars, like Tim Duncan. You kind of quiet. Like, Chara, you don't see him. He speaks after games because he's the captain. But rarely do you get big sound bites from him.
No,
ever.
You don't. He doesn't say
he's
much.
He's just a
he's
pro's pro. You know, that's how he is. And I feel, and Ray even talked about it yesterday, I feel like the Bruins have reinvented their kind of their, I guess, their mojo, the way that they
are.
Image. They're not, their image, yes.
Yeah.
And it kind of shapes around Chara. Now, Marchand, not that case. But he's a superstar, so he is outspoken. He likes to get underneath the skin of opponents. I think he welcomes that type of challenge. I think Nazem Kadri, when he's on his game, welcomes that type of challenge. Like, hey, for me to be involved, I've got to be physical. I've got to be chirping. I think Zach Hyman's going to be a guy who is going to be a pain in the ass for the Bruins. And he has to be. That's how he plays. But more so, I think the Leafs just have to do their talking with their game. And the game is skill, speed, and compete on pucks. And it's not about being this defensive juggernaut, but it's about being aware of how dangerous certain times in the game can be and managing it properly. That's where I think the Leafs can have success.
Yeah, I think when you look at a team that doesn't have winning pedigree, doesn't have that kind of winning experience, those moments in the game, a lot of times it's the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes.
Right.
What are you going to do when the puck drops and the building is going crazy and the anthem singer has everybody fired up and you know the Bruins are probably going to start with their top line tonight
right.
and get out there and they're going to push and push and push.
Right.
And it's not just about weathering the storm. Try to be aggressive if you can. Forget weathering the storm. You try to score first. You get the first shot on net. You cycle the puck first.
Yeah, go after it.
Go after it, right? It's not because that is a loser's race if you're just like, let's ease into it here. Because if the Leafs do that tonight, the Bruins will pounce on them. And then if it's a close game with 10 minutes to go,
what do you have?
What kind of experiences have you received in the past that you can carry over to that specific moment?
I
because
agree.
The Bruins have seen it all for the most part. You know, there are young guys. They got a couple of young guys in the lineup tonight.
Yeah,
but
do.
The big boys, Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, Chara, these guys have seen everything,
they're
man.
They're battle tested. Even Rask.
Yeah, and Tuukka Rask has seen everything.
Yeah. I think it's going to come down to those little matchups like you were pointing to, whether it's a centerman, whether it's a depth player, the goaltenders head-to-head, defensive core as a group versus the defensive core, not just individuals, but it has to be led by Morgan Rielly. But there is going to be the game within the game, and that's where coaching and details and a good penalty kill, a good power play, if you don't score, but it helps create some momentum. Now, there's going to be a lot of different storylines, but I say this all the time, go out to win instead of trying to not lose.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I was referencing with Tampa today and how they were like, well, we're going to learn from that, and you know we know what we were,
right.
And you got to change a little bit. I mean, there's an element of, you know, transformation from the regular season to the playoffs. That happens
right.
with every team, whether you won 62 games or 30 games. It's a different style. It's a different level of intensity.
Right.
But go out there and be aggressive.
Yeah.
If that's your game, you know, the Leafs are not going to be a shutdown team. They're not.
No.
Like we said, we've been saying it all week. They're not going to hold them to 20 shots and win 1-0 tonight.
No.
I'd be shocked. But so what do? Go out there and get aggressive. Hold the puck as long as you can. Make sure you get, you know, your zone exits are going to be really, really significant here because the Bruins can hem the Leafs. That's where they really get in trouble.
But
so get out of the zone. You know,
I'm interested
fight through
to
the
see,
clogging up of the neutral zone and play in their end.
I'm interested to see. We always point, but like a guy like Andreas Johansson, or sorry, Johnson. I always say Johansson. Johnson, like this is his technique. He was there last year, but not involved. Like,
in and out of the lineup.
Exactly. Like now you're there. Now your guy scored 20 goals. You're a guy who's going to play a regular shift. What do you bring? He competes hard. He also plays a little bit in gray area. He likes to have little pick plays, and he's chippy, and that's how he has to play. Doesn't have to run people through the boards, but he has to use his body and use his strength. Those are the types of things that I'm interested to see, because I think for the most part, we know what we're going to get out of Mitch Marner. We know what we're going to get out of Morgan Riley. I think guys like that.
Auston Matthews, do you think you got a good idea of what you're getting out of him tonight?
I do. I think there was a big focus on Auston last year. And I know Bruce Cassidy came out and said, we've circled Marner. That's the guy we... But he was probably playing a little bit of possum as well, saying, hold on, guys, like... Marner's brilliant, and he's a really good puck handler, and he drives a line from the right side. But, 34 can control paces down low. He can win battles. Like, let's pay a little bit extra attention to that scenario. I think those are the conversations that are said, not in public, behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think that'll be a microcosm, though, of the growth of this team, is a guy like Matthews. Where, yeah. let's say Chara, that's his matchup. Because there's a belief that what Bruce Cassidy is going to try to do is get Bergeron on, let's say, the Tavares line, which means he's going to try to get Chara on the Matthews line.
Right.
And that's how he's going to try to shut down both lines with two different pairings, so to speak, even though one's a forward group and one's a defensive pairing. But that'll be a microcosm, I think, of the growth of this team if Auston Matthews chews up that battle.
Yeah.
Like, chews up that battle. And I'm not saying seven straight times if it goes seven games, but where you're like, okay, this guy, they did, because they completely neutralized him last year. Like, he was completely a non-factor.
I think what, this is why Ray and O and other people are pointing to with Boston is, rarely do I see them just break into one-on-one. Like, they do it by committee because Bergeron is so responsible down low. Krejci's very responsible down low. Like, I don't know how many times I've watched them where there's just layers of support. And it's not where, if they see, okay, a guy like Chara who's 42 years old and Auston has a spin move towards the net and is going to try and walk there, it wouldn't surprise me if there's another layer.
Yeah, they play like a zone type of defense.
They really try and force things into certain areas on the ice. That's what's allowed a guy like Chara, whoever else they have in that lineup systematically, like Stephen Kampfer,
to be protected and everything.
To be protected.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I know I'm. Listen, when we use Matthews and Chara, it's easier than saying a five-man unit versus five.
Correct.
Obviously, it can't just be Matthews. Bob McKenzie in studio.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Bob. But we're obviously looking at the Leafs Bruins tonight, and I just said I think Matthews being way more effective, if not just outright better than whoever he goes up against. Can and would be and should be a microcosm of the growth of this whole team, considering what happened a year ago.
No question about it. And I think the most intriguing thing for me, I'm really looking forward to the game, because I want to see, and I was talking to Michael Landsberg and Carlo Koliakovo this morning on the radio board. What I'm most interested in seeing is how much growth has there been for Matthews and Marner and Nylander and the younger guys, Janssen, Kapanen, the younger guys on this team that were part of things last year, but weren't as big a part as they needed to be. And that, for me, is the critical question. And I mentioned it earlier in the week when I said that the Steve Simmons article with Kyle Dubas in the Toronto Sun, written in Dubas's office, and, Dubas kind of framed the whole thing, saying, that's what he wants to see. He wants to see what step have these guys taken, and what if individually the kids, what step have they taken, and then collectively as a group, what step have they taken? And so if you listen to Matthew, if you read or listen to what Matthews has said this week, what Marner said this week in particular, those two guys especially, it's all about, we've got more confidence. So they're talking a good game, which is fair enough. Now, obviously, you need to back it up with your play on the ice. But those that are around the team and those who observe this team up close really sense, and we'll find out, and this is why tonight's so fascinating, we'll find out whether there is a difference. We'll find out if they these guys do have the eye of the tiger that they maybe didn't have the same. And Marner was fantastic last year. I'm not saying he didn't. But Matthews and these other guys, that collectively as a group, can these young guys take the necessary step? And people automatically assume they can't. The Bruins are too good and there's too much history and Game 7 history and all of that stuff. I mean, in the NHL, you can never do something until you do it. And we saw that in the playoffs last night, you know, Columbus and Tampa. So I'm really fascinated to see what the psyche, the mindset, and how it translates to on-ice performance for those young guys.
Will there be, Brian said this last hour, I wholeheartedly agree, will there be a massive overreaction one way or the other tonight?
Of course. Of course.
That's Toronto. How we roll, baby.
It's Toronto. Good or bad. I mean,
they win 5-1. That's it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Of course. Oh, for sure. 5-1, for sure. But here's the thing is it's fine for fans and media to overreact. The more important question is, what if Brad Marchand scores 5 minutes in tonight, the same as he did last year, and then they were down 4-0 before they even knew what hit them? So that's where you want to see the difference. That, you know, if they don't get the first goal, so be it. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning were up 3-0 on the Columbus Blue Jackets last night. Tampa is a far superior team to Columbus to begin with. Then they've got a 3-0 first period lead where they almost chased them right out of the rink.
Yeah.
And Columbus just stabilized and chipped away at it. And some of it, it's self-inflicted, some of what happened to Tampa. But that, that's a team that said, okay, we're down 3-0. Let's deal with it. And if the Leafs get off to a slow start tonight, deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, from a scientific standpoint, you don't want to see that happen, but it would really kind of throw them to the wolves right off the bat. Like, here's your big test. You know, you've had 12 months to learn from it and figure it out.
Yeah.
But you talk about a mood swing in Toronto, because there's some pessimism hovering around the city. Yes. It's a cautious pessimism as opposed to optimism.
Well, as I said, the foundation of that is simply in you don't feel like anybody can ever do anything until they do it. That's the National Hockey League.
Right. Yeah.
Ask the Washington Capitals.
Washington Capitals, they can't win, they can't win, they can't win, they can't win. Oh, they won.
Yeah.
So now, and now it's like, beware Washington, because maybe you go in tonight and everybody's like, well, Carolina can't do it. Carolina can't do it. Well, maybe they can. And
right.
Let's see. But that, that's just human nature. And that more so now than ever, I find, because everything's dissected. And, it's all done in running time because of social media. That's how things have changed.
Well,
before I used to watch a game. And when you watched the game, there was no Twitter and there was no social media. And so you just watched the game and whatever you thought is whatever you thought. But there was no groundswell of a tangible measurement of how the public is feeling, good, bad, or indifferent. And now it's there period by period. So everybody's on Twitter last night and they're like, oh, man, this thing's going to be over in one game with Columbus and in Tampa.
Yeah.
And then in the second period, in the third period, it was, wow, that tweet didn't age too well. Everybody was falling on their swords. But that's because that's all we do now is we do everything on a moment-by-moment basis. They're not good enough, not even close. And then guess what? They were good enough. They were better than good enough.
I thought the biggest statement last night was in San Jose.
Oh, boy, was it ever.
I thought they played really well. And, Vegas, they were chasing the game all night. And it never felt like, to me, Vegas was going to get back into it, quite frankly.
No, and the exposure for San Jose down the stretch and much of the season has been their goaltending. And it never became a factor because San Jose didn't allow it to become a factor. They were just so much better than Vegas in every way, shape, and form. And, there were a lot of people who, especially after they got Mark Stone, and then you got healthy, and so now you got Stone, Pacioretty, and Stastny as your second line. You still got your first line. You got much of the same defense that you had coming back.
Yeah.
Even healthy scratch Colin Miller in the game last night. You've got Fleury in that. So people are automatically assuming there's a dangerous team. There's a team that could go to the final again. And even though they're behind San Jose in the standings, San Jose's goaltending's bad. Therefore, Vegas is the favorite. And then they didn't even... But there were a lot of people, too, that looked objectively at the way Vegas played the final few weeks of the season and said, I don't like a lot of things I'm seeing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And San Jose exposed them.
Yeah, they looked. I thought San Jose looked really good. Yeah, that said, you know, to the whole theme of this conversation has been, if you're Vegas, you don't panic. It's
no.
Okay, I'll go out there and win game two, and then we're coming home with a split. You know, that's the over. It's because of the anticipation of game one. You know, everyone's so jacked up and so fired up.
You'd like to put, I mean, almost the Drew Doughty comment. You'd like to play a couple games in a night or something just to get a feel of how it's going to go. Because, you know, the ebbs and flows of a full series, it's the emotional roller coaster. You're all over it. Ah, they can't do it. Ah, they can do it. Like, this guy can't stop a puck. Like, there's so many storylines within the series. It's amazing. I mean, that's the narrative. How do you think Mike Smith is going to feel going into the game tonight? He knows.
You like that call? Do you think, like, was that the obvious one?
It was the obvious one for me because Mike Smith had played well down the stretch. He's got experience. And Billy Peters knows I can go to the other guy at any time.
Exactly. They've been doing it all year. Yeah. He's the veteran guy. Yeah. And he's the guy with the bigger contract. And actually, not that you default automatically to who makes more money. But he's played well enough at times this season to justify having the veteran status and start the game. And Calgary's got plenty of confidence that if, okay, well, you get Smitty's having an off night, we'll put the other guy in.
Right. His record against Colorado lifetime is actually very strong in looking at that. Not that it factors into anything because it's regular season and that, but there's probably a small layer that went into that as part of the decision-making for Billy Peters.
Well, that's going to be a fun one tonight, too. I mean, Colorado, they had to fight for their lives to get in, right? Like
Nathan McKinnon is... And Ranton's going to play. Yeah. Landis, like that McKinnon is...
Yeah, he's fun.
He's such a good player. Such a good player.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right, Bob. Good seeing you, man.
Awesome, boys. Have enjoyed
doing the
games.
Whole panel thing tonight and everything? Oh, yeah.
O's resting up.
Yeah O's who knows?
He's load management right now.
Yeah, O's literally Kawhi Leonard right now in between radio and SportsCenter hits. He did a SportsCenter hit, and now it's load management until...
He did two SportsCenter hits. That's obviously why he needed the rest of them.
Oh, it was a Leaf one and a Flame one?
No, we did two Leafs, of course.
Oh, really?
Flame, are you crazy? No.
Why would you mix in a Calgary Flame one?
Toronto Sports Network.
That's right, buddy. All right, there's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I think the Sox are going to get back on track tonight. Staying away from the hockey board. Yeah. And I'm on the Cubbies at home against Pittsburgh. Throw down 20, you can score 42. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. All right, the pregame coming up at 6:30. Jim Taddy. Greg Gilbert, Kristen Shilton will be in here from 6:30 until 7, and then they'll throw it down to Boston. Joe Bowen, Jimmy Ralph with the call. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050, the home of the Maple Leafs, and we can't wait for it.
What time is the yes guy, no guy?
My understanding, usually it's around 6:43. I think in playoff form, it'll be 6:37.
Because it's going to be an extended one, don't you think?
I fully expect it. I would expect nothing less. Kristen will be in here.
I was just going to say, with Gibby and Kristen,
it's going to be a wild scene.
Will just be...
That's what I'm listening all
firing
the way home.
Firing in all cylinders.
Firing home, and if the Leafs can get a win tonight, it'll be one hell of a mood tomorrow, and if they lose, it'll be a little bit different. But regardless, enjoy the game. Enjoy the games tonight, and we are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Join us.
Join us.